Now, one of the Misnagdim, who Baruch Hashem had his own mind and was able to think a little bit, and not just join in with his friends and tease, but he thought for himself, you know, this doesn't make sense to chas v'shalom say something not nice about Reb Moshe Leib of Sasov. Whatever differences they had, or whatever it was, this Misnaget realized Reb Moshe Leib of Sasov is still a great tzaddik. And it could not be he's just sleeping late in the month of Elul. And he was curious to see, where is Reb Moshe Leib early in the morning? Now, he didn't exactly believe that he goes in the Shemayim, but he did believe something is going on that he really doesn't know about, and it's not right to tease. So he decided he's going to find out for himself. The next morning he woke up very early, and he went to the house of Reb Moshe Leib of Sasov, and he was hiding behind a tree outside the house, and he was going to spy. Kind of like the other story also with the Parets spying. I don't know why over here these two stories that we're telling have people spying on Reb Moshe Leib of Sasov. Well, this Misnaget is behind the tree early in the morning, and all of a sudden he sees a candle go on, a light go on. In those days they didn't have an electric light, but he saw. Now, it was still dark outside, the very beginning of the morning when most people were still sleeping, even the ones that go to the early minyan were still sleeping. But there was already a light on in the house of Reb Moshe Leib of Sasov, which means that he woke up. And the Misnaget says, I'm going to go peek in the window and see what's going on. And he to be towed over there to find out what's going on. Now, don't do this, but this is what he did. He peeked in the window. Should you go to somebody's house and peek in the window and spy on them? No. But this is what he did, and this is the story. Shh. All of a sudden, he sees Reb Moshe Leib getting dressed, not in the clothes of a tzaddik. He put on a coat of a lumberjack. You know what a lumberjack is? Like a man who chops wood. A man who goes out in the forest and chops wood. He put on heavy pants of a lumberjack, a man who chops trees. He put on big, fat, heavy boots of a worker. He put on a hat. He looked like a man who chops down trees. He got now a heavy axe, and he put it on his shoulder. Then he took a bag, and he put it over his shoulder. So he has an axe, a bag, a heavy coat, and he goes out of the house. He looked like a worker who chops down trees in the forest. He didn't look like a tzaddik. What is going on over here? This is Slichas time, and it's even early, so early in the morning when people are just going to the mikveh or something, and he's going out with an axe in the forest? Well, Reb Moshe Leib left his house, and he goes not towards the shul, he goes into the forest. Well, the Misnaget was very curious. I'm going to follow him and see what he does. And he tippy-toes and tippy-toes and tippy-toes behind the trees as Reb Moshe Leib of Sasov is walking. And, of course, he doesn't know he's being followed. Or maybe he does, but he doesn't let on to it. He goes in the forest, and Reb Moshe Leib starts chopping down branches from the trees. Chopping and chopping, and he's chopping wood. And these branches of wood he ties together in bundles. So he's schlepping all this wood. And he takes his axe, he takes his wood, he takes the other bag. And now he takes the wood and he's going through the forest holding all of this. He comes to a little house in the forest, a broken down house. And he knocks on the door. And the Misnagid was hiding behind a tree very close to the house to see what's going to happen. And he hears the voice of an old lady. Yes, who's there? And Reb Moshe Leib says, it's the wood chopper. It's the lumberjack. Oh. Are you selling wood? Yes, I have wood. Would you like to buy wood to heat up your house? I'm sorry. I would love to buy wood, but I can't afford to pay for it. I don't have the money. Don't worry. You could get the wood now and pay me later. And all of a sudden the door opens. He sees this very old, very poor looking lady. And she opens the door and he comes in and he brings in the wood. She says, well, I would like to use the wood for a fire, but I'm too weak to make a fire with all that wood. Don't worry, I'll make the fire for you. And he makes a fire with the wood, so the cold house is getting warmed up. And the Misnagid by now was now by the window, peeking in by the side. He didn't want to be seen. And as Reb Moshe Leib is putting the wood together to make the fire, he hears them saying words. And he's listening closely to the words. And he hears the words of Slichus. As he was making the fire, he was saying Slichus, Baal Peh. Not from the Sefer, but he was saying Slichus while he's making the fire. And the woman is shivering, but as the house is warming up, she feels better. And then she says, oh, a nice fire. It would be so nice to cook some food on the fire. And Reb Moshe Leib says, well, of course, why don't you go cook food on the fire? Well, actually, I don't have any food in the house. Oh, don't worry, I have food in my bag. He takes out food from his bag. And he starts warming up food and boiling water and cooking. And he takes out bread and he takes out eggs and he takes out different kinds of food. And he gives it to the lady. Oh, but I can't pay for this food. Don't worry. You'll pay a different time for the food. I have delicious things that my wife baked, some bread and here's some cakes and some cookies. And we have so much in our house, you know, I would love for you to have it. You don't even have to pay me for this. And Kinalach, as this is going on, the Misnagid is peeking through the window. Okay, tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, we'll finish this story. And it's not over yet, but tomorrow, you know, tomorrow. The Misnagid had followed Reb Moshe Leib of Sasseth into the forest. Reb Moshe Leib had dressed like a tree chopper man, like a lumberjack. And he was following in the forest and he cut the wood. He went to the old broken down house. Now this is now early in the morning when people are saying Slichus. And the whole problem was, the Misnagdim were saying, why isn't Moshe Leib in shul? They said, he's sleeping late. He doesn't even go to Slichus. He comes late. And this one Misnagid, it bothered him to find out, instead of just going along with everybody else, what they think. You know, there's two ways. One way is you go along with everybody and you join in the way they think without finding out yourself. Well, That's one way to do it, or not to do it. Another way is, you say, let me find out what's really going on before I make up my own mind. I don't necessarily have to go along with everyone else, especially if Chas V'Shalom, they're doing something that's not right. Don't go along with everyone. Who knows that Avram was the first Jew, and he was called Avram HaIvri, because he was on one side, and the rest of the world was on the other side. The rest of the world said, look, everybody's doing this, so you come with us. And everybody thinks this way, so you think like us. Avram said, no way. I'm going to be on my side, even if I'm alone, you can be on your side. I'm making up my own mind the way Hashem wants me to do it, not the way you think. Shh. And this Misnaget said, I'm going to find out and not just talk against Moshe Leib Sassaf. Let's find out what he does early in the morning. Shh. Okay. So he went to the little house. There was an old lady. He gave her the wood. He made a fire. He gave her food. He even cooked food. And the whole time, what was he saying as he was chopping the wood and making the fire and cooking the food? What was he saying? What was Reb Moshe Leib of Sassaf saying the whole time as he was chopping the wood and cooking and he was doing all the things for the lady?
Slichas.
He was saying slichas. And of course the Misnaget saw that Reb Moshe Leib is a halik tzaddik. And he now left the forest and he went back to the shul. And Reb Moshe Leib came later. He had gone. Now, Reb Moshe Leib went home. He changed back into his regular clothes, the way he dressed as a tzaddik. And he went to the shul. Or maybe first he went to the mikveh and then he went to the shul. And he walked in by the late minyan. And Miss Nagdim were over there, and they were laughing. Look, he comes late. By this time, the man who had followed him to the forest was also in shul. And he was now together with his friends. And they said, hey, look, he comes late. And the Hasidim say that he goes up in the Shemayim. Isn't that ridiculous? And this Misnaget said, you know, my friends, I'll tell you, it is ridiculous that they say he goes in the Shemayim. You know where he goes? Higher than the Shemayim. He goes higher than the Shemayim. And they looked at him, what do you mean? What do you mean higher than Shemayim? What does that mean, higher than Shemayim? It's a funny enough, he goes in the Shemayim. Now you're trying to make a funny joke, higher than the Shemayim? And they start laughing. But he says, I'm not laughing. I'm serious. He is doing something higher than the Shemayim. And he told them all about what he saw, what Moshe Leib was doing early in the morning. And of course, he was doing things for Hashem. Who is higher, the Shemayim or Hashem? Hashem is even higher than Shemayim. He was doing halakha things, serving Hashem, doing special mitzvahs. And of course, when the Misnagdim heard this, they never made fun again, and they were quiet, and they had, of course, great respect for Reb Moshe Leib of Sassaf. It was a long time ago in Spain. There was a time in Spain the Jews had terrible trouble. And there was a time in Spain there were no Jews. They kicked out the Jews. They didn't let them live there for hundreds of years. Spain was a terrible, terrible troublemaker place for Jews for a long time. Now, in the time the Jews were still there, they had to keep Torah and mitzvahs in secret, because if they were caught, Chas V'Shalom, they were killed. They were burned up. This is called the Spanish Inquisition, a terrible time. If a Jew was caught blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, he was killed. Now, there was a certain Jew that thought of a good trick to get Jews to hear the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And this is a true story. When your pencils are down, I could tell the story. Who's ready to hear the story? I asked you when your pencils are down. Now, this Yid, nobody knew he was a Yid, except for other Yidden. The non-Jews, the Spaniards, the Spanish Goyim, did not know he was a Jew because he did everything in secret. He didn't want anybody to catch him being a Jew. He put on tefillin in his basement. There was a secret minyan in the basement to daven. Shabbos, of course, was all in secret. A lot of stories about that. Now, what was his job? He was an orchestra leader. You know what an orchestra is? A band, musical instruments, violins, trumpets, trombones, drums, flutes, cellos, piccolos, all kinds of musical instruments. And he was the leader of the orchestra. When they made a concert, he was in the front with the baton, leading the orchestra, showing the trumpet when to play, and showing the violin when to play, and showing the flute when to play. Shh. This is what the leader of the orchestra does. And at the concert of his orchestra, there would sometimes be hundreds or even thousands of people because it was the main orchestra in Spain, the biggest orchestra in Spain. The symphony orchestra. It came time before Rosh Hashanah. And he thought to himself, every day we daven in the basement in secret and we're very quiet. It's coming a time where we have to blow the shofar. Now, the shofar, it's a little bit noisier than being quiet, especially if you want a lot of people to hear it. It's going to be very, very dangerous to blow the shofar. It will be very dangerous to blow the shofar, even in the basement, because the Spanish police will be looking and listening and spying because they know it's Rosh Hashanah and they want to catch a Jew blowing the shofar. And even if we get to blow the shofar, and even if we get to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, so how many Yidden will be able to hear it? Only those that will go to a basement, and a lot of Jews were too afraid to go to the basement. They won't hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. They will not have the mitzvah. As we know, it's one of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. What a shame. So many Jews not hearing the shofar. They're too afraid. All of a sudden, he got a very fantastic idea. Now again, nobody knew he was a Yid. And if you tell anybody you're a Yid, you can be in big trouble. Now, there was a concert that was scheduled to be on Rosh Hashanah. Now, if you're a Yid and you're allowed to keep Torah mitzvahs, you're going to say, I can't come to work on Rosh Hashanah, it's Yontif. I'll go to shul and I'll stay home with my family, but I don't work on Yontif. What if he's all of a sudden going to say, I can't make a concert on Rosh Hashanah. It's Rosh Hashanah. I'm a Jew, and I have to go to shul. What's going to happen to him? He will unfortunately, chas v'shalom, get killed, because all of a sudden they'll find out he's a Jew. They will go tell the Spanish police, and that's it. Now, he had to go to the concert on Rosh Hashanah. He had no way out of that. But he had a tremendous idea that not only it's not going to be not good to go to the concert, he's going to make it excellent to go to the concert. And he got a good trick. He thought of a good trick. Now, the first thing he has to do is think, what is the name of this concert? Every concert has a name. The winter concert, or the spring flower concert. You know, there's all kinds of names for concerts. The music will be a certain idea of all the music, whatever it is. All of a sudden he got an idea. This concert is going to be called Music from Around the World. Music from Around the World. Now, what does that mean, music from around the world? If you go to certain places, there are certain kinds of musical instruments. If you go to Japan, there's certain kinds of musical instruments they have in Japan. If you go to China, they have other kinds of musical instruments. Their music is different than the music of Japan. If you go to India, you'll hear certain instruments you're not going to hear necessarily if you go to South America or Mexico or America or England. Each place has special, unique kinds of musical instruments. And he thought to himself, the name of the concert will be Instruments from Around the World. Now, some of these instruments are very strange. They have strange noises, or they're made out of strange things. Some musical instruments are made out of a squash or a pumpkin, or a hollowed out piece of wood, or some kind of stick with some kind of strings on it. All kinds of strange things they use for musical instruments. Well, this concert was going to have all kinds of interesting, strange musical instruments. And one of them was going to be a ram's horn. Now, we know what a ram's horn is. What is a ram's horn? A shofar. Now, the trick is this. Nobody's going to know that this is a shofar for Torah mitzvahs. They're going to think it's some kind of a musical instrument. Now, the word got out in secret to all the Jews, come to the concert on Rosh Hashanah. Buy the ticket before us, you will not have to handle money, but come to the big auditorium where they're going to have the concert. And the main reason for coming to the concert is not just to hear music, you're going to be yotzi, the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, which is, of course, tikiyas shofar. And the Jews got their tickets. They came to the concert in Rosh Hashanah. They sat in the audience. And the concert began with all kinds of pieces of music using strange instruments. And the leader of the orchestra would point his stick at, let's say, the whatever it is. There's all kinds of interesting instruments. And they would play their solo, their part. And the whole orchestra would play, and he pointed to somebody else, and they would play a different kind of musical instrument from China. And the whole orchestra would play something else, and he pointed his stick, and the one from the musical instrument from Japan, Japanese music. And he pointed his stick, and there was an Italian instrument that played Italian music, or French music, or whatever it was. And all of a sudden, it came a certain part of the music, and part of the music was very strange and very interesting, and all of a sudden he pointed his stick at the one with the shofar, who was also a secret Jew. And the whole orchestra was quiet, and now they're listening for this number. And all of a sudden, this is what the instrument played. And all of a sudden, this is what you heard coming out of the musical instrument. And Kinalach the Yidden knew that they were hearing the tekiyos and the shvarim and the trua of tekiyas shofar. Now, the goyim thought, oh, this is a very interesting, strange musical instrument. Yes, this is a concert of music. We're listening to interesting music from around the world. And they're sitting there with big smiles on their faces, listening to a concert. And the Jews are having in mind, we're doing the mitzvah of tekiyas shofar in the open together with hundreds of Jews, and nobody knows the difference, and we're not getting in trouble, and we're openly doing a mitzvah of tekiyas shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And the shofar goes on. blowing and the yidden are listening. And of course, Kinalach, the Yidden were Yetzi, the Hiddur, the Mitzvah of Tekiyah Shefer. And the Goyim had a big smile on their face. Hey, it's a good concert. Yeah, it's a good concert. Yeah, very good. And that's the trick of the Shefer. It's a true story that happened in Spain on Rosh Hashanah. Now, I'm going to answer the question that we had. How could it be? The Eibusher says to the ground, grow out eitz pri, that the tree should taste like the fruit. And it should also make fruit. And we said that the word eretz comes from the word rots, that it runs to do what Hashem wants. Which means the eretz is really good. It really is excited to do what Hashem wants. So Hashem says, grow a tree that tastes like the fruit. The apple tree tastes like delicious like apples. The orange tree tastes delicious like oranges. The wood itself has a delicious taste, besides the fruit that grows. And that's what I want you to do. That's the command. And in the next pasuk it says, the ground grew out of eitz, a regular tree, that made fruit. So the apple tasted like the apple, but the wood tasted like wood. Wait a minute. The very next pasuk, it didn't do what Hashem said. How could that be? Who remembers the question? Okay, now I'm going to tell you one answer I heard. This is one answer. I'm sure there's many answers. Not only the ground wanted to do what Hashem wants, the ground loves Hashem so much, the ground wanted to do something special for Hashem. Now listen to this. Are you listening? In other words, you could judge a thing bad, or you could judge a thing good, and over here we're going to judge it good. Okay, now the ground thought like this. What if I listen to Hashem? Hashem is so wonderful and Hashem is so nice. Hashem doesn't realize if I listen to him, something not good will happen to Hashem. So I have to do something in order to take care of Hashem and make Hashem happy. Okay, so the ground said like this. If I grow a delicious apple tree that's going to taste like apples, like Hashem wants, you know what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. People are going to come along and start breaking off a branch of the tree. Oh, it's delicious. Tastes so good. Hashem made the delicious tree. Then they'll take more of the tree off. Then they'll start cutting down the trunk of the tree. Then they're going to cut down the whole tree because they're eating it up. The whole family is sitting around the table eating trees. Oh, it's delicious. The tree is gone. What is going to grow more apples? Is there another tree there? No. Well, next to it is another tree. But people will cut that down too because it tastes so delicious. And another tree and another tree. After a while, there are no apple trees left because people ate them up. And if there's no apple trees, are there apples? No, because the apple trees grow the apples. No apple trees, no apples. So the ground thought, oi gewalt, after a while, there's going to be no more apple trees, no more orange trees, no more peach trees, no more plum trees, no more fruit. Why? Because the tree was so delicious, people ate it up. No more fruit. But Hashem wants there to be fruit in the world. So what am I going to do? In order to help Hashem, I'll make a tree that tastes yucky. A person's going to go to the apple tree and break off a piece and put it in his mouth. Ech! Yeah, it doesn't taste good. Ech! I'm not going to cut down the tree. I'm not going to eat the tree. So they'll leave the tree there. But there's apples growing on the tree. They pick off an apple. Hey, that's good. Tastes delicious, like an apple. In fact, it is an apple. So they're going to leave the tree there. They'll eat the apples. And the next year, the tree is still there because nobody ate it up. But there's more apples. And they'll pick the apples. And the next year, the tree is still there because nobody's going to eat up the yucky tree because it doesn't taste good. And they'll eat the apples. That way, there's always going to be apples because nobody's going to chop down the trees to eat the trees. So that way, Hashem will have apples in the world. So the ground meant well. who understood the ground meant well by making the tree not taste like the fruity, it only tastes like a tree. The ground meant well. Did it come out exactly like Hashem wanted? Okay, these are interesting questions. Hashem told the ground what to do. The ground changed it. How can it change it? Okay, there's questions, but that's one answer that I heard.